Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Sunday for the power. Wow. Who's got the power? That's cool. The power. I have been talking to you for several weeks now about the power. This is important to me because the Bible has a lot to say to God's people about the power. God has for his church and for his people a divine power that we need to seize upon. Okay, let's see who has the power this week. Yeah, there you go. So yesterday we had a church work day, and thank you to those of you who could be there and really help us get upstairs cleaned up, because like I said earlier, we're going to have an all-church Thanksgiving dinner next Sunday, and there's some prep and cleaning that needed to be done, and several of you came for many hours and worked hard, so thank you. I can't thank you enough. I literally had to pull these two away from their cleaning duties because they were so into cleaning. And they wanted to show us that they do have the power, and indeed they do have the power. And you could say I saved the best for last, right? So, hey, today I want to talk to you about the power of perseverance, the power of staying power. This is a very important theme in the Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. These are the words of Jesus, and this verse is just going to bless you. I mean, I'm going to read this verse to you, and you're going to be so blessed. I mean, this verse is going to knock your socks off with blessing. Matthew 10, 22. This is the word of Jesus. All people will hate you because of me. Doesn't that just bless your heart? All people will hate you because of me. Now, I'm sure this was not a surprise to the disciples when Jesus taught this saying. I'm sure they were already experiencing some of that. It was not easy to be a disciple of Jesus. And so Jesus is just reminding them, if you're going to follow me, there's a cost, there's a price to be paid. And so he's just reminding them, hey, if you're serious about following me, not everyone's going to like you. It's going to be tough. But here's the rest of the verse. Matthew 10, 22. All people will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. That's an important verse for anyone who is a person of faith and will follow Jesus. That if we stand firm in the faith, we don't call it quits, we don't throw in the towel, we don't walk away from our Lord and our faith and our church and our beliefs, there is salvation at the end of the road. Now, I've told you before, and I'll say it again, that anytime the Bible repeats itself, that's very important, and we need to pay attention. What's especially true is that any time Jesus repeats himself, that's doubly important. And Jesus repeats himself again in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 10. Because Jesus is really trying to hit home this important point. The power of perseverance, of endurance, of sticking to it. The power of staying power. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Now, if there's one verse that I could talk to you about eschatology, and eschatology is basically just the study of end times, this verse right here shows us that we're living in such a day and age. At that time, many will turn away from the faith, betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And I don't know if we've ever been living in a time where people have been colder than ever. But here's Jesus again in verse 13 of Matthew 24, repeating himself, which ought to get our attention. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Very important verse. Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't call it quits. Because there is salvation at the end of the road. I've shared with you before that I think the saddest verse in all the New Testament is John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They didn't see it through to the very end. Things got too hard. And so they turned their backs on Jesus, walked away, and called it quits. Okay, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, just a couple more verses about the power of perseverance. The power of staying power. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul writes this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And so I like what Paul is saying here. He's saying here, the end result is hope, which is wonderful. And we get hope through character, which we need. And we get character by perseverance. And we get perseverance through suffering. Now, I don't really like the suffering part. None of us do. But suffering is necessary in order for God to build in us endurance and perseverance and stick-to-itiveness, so that he can develop within us character and hope. Powerful words. And then turn with me to James. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Heavenly Father, your word has a lot to say about sticking with it. This is an important word for all of us, because there is power in perseverance. There is power in staying true to your word. There is power in staying true to you, to the faith, to the church. There is power that you impart to us when we persevere and endure. And nobody likes suffering. None of us want to suffer. But Lord, we embrace the sufferings and trials that we endure, because we know that you're using those to develop us, to make us mature and complete in you. You're refining us to make us stronger than we were before. And maybe someone's here today and they're feeling weak. And I get that. They're feeling beat up and beat down. And I get that, because this world excels at beating us down. But you excel at building us up. You excel at making us stronger. You make us into the people of God you want for us to be. And so you have a way of using those trials that we're going through to build character. And it's not always an easy process to go through, Lord, but we embrace what you're doing in us. And so help us to become the strong people of God you've called for us to be. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to show you this picture up on the screen. This is a picture over 50 years ago of Space Probe Pioneer 10. Let me tell you the story of Pioneer 10. In 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe Pioneer 10. According to Leon Geroff in Time magazine, this satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph Jupiter and its moons, and then beam data back to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, its radiation belt, and its atmosphere. Now, at the time, scientists regarded this as a very bold plan. At that time, no Earth satellite had ever gone beyond Mars, and they feared that the asteroid belt would destroy this satellite before it could reach Jupiter. But to their astonishment, Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and so much more. Swinging past Jupiter in November of 1973, this is 50 years ago, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed toward the edge of the solar system. At nearly 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At some point, 2 billion miles past the sun, it went past Uranus, Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, and Pluto at nearly 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to scientists here on Earth. Perhaps what's most remarkable, writes Geroff for Time magazine, was that those signals emanated from an 8-watt transmitter, which radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight and takes more than 9 hours to reach Earth. They call this the little satellite that could, because it was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life anticipating about just 3 years. But it kept going and going and going. By simple longevity, its tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone could have ever thought possible. And so the application for our walk with God is pretty cool. God can work even through someone like me and you with an 8-watt ability. But God cannot work through us if we call it quits. One of my life verses, not just for life, but especially for ministry, is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And I can't tell you how often I go back to this verse and hold on to it. This is what Paul says in Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's the key. We will reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we stick with it. If we persevere. If we keep our eyes on the prize. If we keep pressing on, even when we want to quit. So this summer, we had the privilege of having our granddaughter here. One of her birthday parties we had here at the church, and family was here, and we had a great time. And she got so many gifts, it was fun. And one of the gifts she got, Grandma Renee got her this gift, was a little bike designed for one-year-olds. You know, it's a cute little bike, and Maislin's dad helped her, you know, rip open the wrapping paper and pull out the box, and they saw it was a bike, and so Caleb put it together, and it's just a cute little bike to help one-year-olds learn how to ride a bike. It's one of those Flintstone-type vehicles, you know, you get on and you power it with your feet. And so they put Maislin on there, and she started, you know, riding her new bike, and we were all up in Cook Hall and just watching her and having a good time. And then after a little while, we heard a crash and some crying. And she had fallen her first time. And of course, everyone was like, oh, no, what's going on? You know, and Mom goes and picks her up and tries to comfort her, and she's crying, and I'm upset. I wanted to kick that dumb bike, you know. How dare you do this to me? You know, all that sort of thing. But to Maislin's credit, that little girl, just turned 1 year old, got back up on that bike. And I snapped this picture of her on the bike because I know that when she gets older, she's going to go through difficulties in life like we all do. Maybe something's going on at school or whatever. And she's going to be discouraged, and she's going to be heartbroken, and she's going to want to call it quits. And someday, when she's older, I want to tell her the story of how at her first birthday party, she got on the bike, she fell down, she cried, but she got back up on the bike. And it didn't defeat her, and it didn't discourage her, and she's doing okay. And I think about that story quite a bit, and I think I've come to the conclusion that I think maybe God has built within us this desire to get back up. That when life knocks us down, and it does, I don't have to tell you that, that God has put within us this innate desire to not want to be defeated by what has knocked us down, but this divine desire to get back up and press on. That if we don't get back on and press on, that we are actually going against human nature. I think God has put within us this desire to want to get back on and keep pressing on. It was Vince Lombardi, the great coach for the Green Bay Packers, who said this: it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up. There's a lot of wisdom in that. And speaking of Maislin, by the way, if you haven't heard, she's going to be a big sister. We're so excited for that. So, grandbaby number 2, baby Hannah, boy, making his way into this world, January of 2024. Grandma and Grandpa are just a little excited.
Just a little.
Just a little. I had a pastor's meeting this week, Tuesday, up in McMinnville. It was a good meeting, talking about evangelism and discipleship. I sat down at a table before the meeting started and sat next to one of the younger pastors on our district. I remember when I was one of the younger pastors on the district, now I'm not anymore. But we got to talking, and he asked me, he said, well, how long have you been at your church? I said, 21 and a half years. He said, 21 years? I said, no, 21 and a half years. When you get to this point, you count the halves, you know. And he was just astonished that some pastor would be at that church for so long. He has every reason to be, because in ministerial age, it's kind of an anomaly, you know. Most pastors are at their church anywhere from 3 to 5 years. And so he was just flabbergasted that I've been here 21 and a half years. And another pastor sitting across from us leaned over and he said, well, what would you attribute your longevity to? And I thought about it for a minute and I said, I'm going to give you an answer, and I don't want you to think that it's a trite answer and it's not a churchy answer, but I mean this with all my heart. I attribute the longevity to God's sustaining grace. Because there's no way that you can be a pastor for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years without God's grace giving you the perseverance to press on and to not call it quits. And then I said to these pastors, I said, yeah, it's unusual that a minister would stay at a church for as long as I have, but think about friends you know. How many people do you know have been at their current job for 20 years? When a couple makes it to their 20-year anniversary, that's something to be celebrated, because how many couples do you know don't make it to their 20-year anniversary? How many people do you know live in the same house for 20 years? So my point was longevity, perseverance, endurance. It is something to be celebrated, because there is power when you stick with it and you try to make things work. I want to tell you about Paul Hinder. When he was 16 years old in 1973, he started working at a McDonald's in Long Island, paid $1.85 an hour. He's been with McDonald's now for 50 years. And now, 50 years later, he owns and operates 31 McDonald's locations across Long Island, Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan, including the flagship restaurant in Times Square. And he says this, "I never thought it would be my forever job, but I also can't imagine working anywhere else." And he's since gone on and received many degrees and bettered himself. But can you imagine sticking with one job, as he has for 50 years? 50 days from today, I looked at the calendar, checked it twice, 50 days from today is January 1, 2024. We have exactly 50 days from today when we begin a new year. The time to begin making plans for the new year and making goals and making sure that you want to achieve your goals and be successful and persevere in the new year is not December 31st. It is right now. You and I have 50 days to really think through, pray through, and determine, what do we want next year to look like? What goals do I want to accomplish? What do I want to pursue in this new year? That starts today. And so join me in these next 50 days to really think through and plan what the next year is going to be like, so that we can succeed and persevere in the new year. So when the boys were very little, we took them to Mount Rushmore. Micah was 4 years old at the time. And if you've never been to Mount Rushmore, it is an inspiring place. I would encourage you to go. It really inspired me. But when we came back home some months later, Renee asked Micah, "What do you want for your birthday?" And he said, "I want a picture of Abraham Lincoln," because that trip, I guess, inspired him. Well, that was when he was 4 years old. Last week, Micah turned 18, and he finally got his picture of Abraham Lincoln. Renee actually went online and ordered him his picture of Abraham Lincoln for his birthday, and here they are. I asked if I could borrow them today. Here's the first one. Pretty cool. And then here's this one. It says, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." Micah finally got his pictures of Abraham Lincoln 14 years later. That's just one of the gifts he got. He did get a mini fridge for his room, so he'll probably never ever leave his room again. I'm surprised he even made it to church this morning. But I share that with you because here's some facts about Abraham Lincoln that you may or may not know, because he really is a portrait of the power of perseverance. At 22 years of age, he failed in business. At 23, he ran for the legislature and lost. At 24, he failed again in business. At 25, he was finally elected to the legislature. At 26, his sweetheart died. At 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At 29, he was defeated for speaker. At 31, he was defeated as an elector. At 34, he was defeated for Congress. At 37, he was finally elected to Congress. At 39, he was defeated for Congress. At 46, he was defeated for Senate. At 47, he was defeated for Vice President. At 49, he was defeated for Senate. And finally, when he was 52, he was elected President. So here's a man a great man in our history who faced many obstacles, personal life, political life, and yet he stuck with it. And if you're a student of history, you're glad he did, because he helped change the course of our history for better. It's the power of perseverance. It's the power of not calling it quits. It's the power of pressing on. I want to show you this short 1 minute video of a woman named Chandler Self. She's running the Dallas Marathon, trying to finish. Look what happens.
This is just slapped right here by both of them. Another fall. We just all want her to just get there. She's given everything she possibly has to get to this finish line.
She is literally, from where we sit, we can see she's less than 50 yards from the finish. Sold a phenomenal athlete and triathlete, great runner.
She's just willing herself there.
And this is our winner, ladies and gentlemen. This is not normally what you expect to see at the finish of a marathon.
But Chandler Self has run herself to complete exhaustion, and she is so brave. This is incredible. And she's running fast. Remember, she's 30 minutes ahead, or slower than what the time is, because she started earlier. She is still going to run the marathon in under 2 hours and 54 minutes.
She finally made it.
Tremendous, tremendous effort.
What an incredible video.
Oh my,
what an incredible video. How many times did she fall down? How many times did she say to herself, I probably can't make it? Yet she never gave up. She did not give up. Reminds me of what we read in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You may feel like this lady. I know there are days that I do. You're just trying to finish the race. You're just trying to run the race. And you get knocked down and you're tired and you're beat up and you don't even know if you can get back up and finish. And yet, she did. It's the power of perseverance.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.